Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Last night it emerged that Sunday Independent columnist Owen Harris will no longer be writing for that paper with immediate effect. His contract with the Sunday Independent was terminated after he confirmed his involvement in the running of an anonymous Twitter account under the name of Barbara J. Pym, which was set up in February 2020. How prevalent are fake Twitter accounts, though, and how do you know that the person you're reading online is who they say they are? I'm joined now by Alan Smeaton, Insight Centre for Data Analytics at DCU. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Claire.
We might go back and have a look at what happened with Owen Harris and why he won't be writing for the Sunday Independent anymore. Can you take us through what unfolded last night?
Yeah, basically he admitted that he had a role, he and others, in the creation of this fake Twitter account for Barbara J. Pym from February of 2020. And that account had been posting comments on, you know, political nature. And the editor of the newspaper, Alan English, decided to terminate his contract because it became untenable. So it was partly for the things that were said, which would not have been within the, you know, the roles of the newspaper, but it was mostly about the transparency and the lack of transparency and the journalistic standards. So it's partly for what he said, but mostly for the way he said it by covering himself or ghosting himself with this fake Twitter account.
Okay, and we'll talk about, you know, how people and why people might set up fake Twitter accounts in a moment. But in this particular instance, it's about the ethics here for the paper, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about the transparency. So if an individual has a column and is publishing in that column his or her views on it, and then has another alternative outlet for that where she or he is publishing views again, it's the lack of transparency and accountability for the latter of those that ultimately was the undoing.
And Alan, this is the problem with social media accounts, not just Twitter. Very easy to set up, aren't they?
Yeah, all you basically need is an email address and a phone number and a bit of time and clicking on a phone or a computer and the account is set up. It's too easy to do so.
And you can't trace them easily if you want to find out who that person really is.
Well, in theory, you can, because you need to have an email address and you need to have a phone number. And when people set up, real people set up real fake, sort of, you can tolerate that then, the real fake accounts, then they do it for one of two reasons. One reason is that you want to be able to lurk and see what other Twitter accounts are saying about you or about some topic. And in that case, you're very benign. You set up this fake account. You may use your own email address and your own phone number, but you're not participating in the dialogue. You're just basically lurking like a wallflower, looking and listening and seeing what people are saying. And then when you cross the threshold and you start to contribute with the fake account, then you become much more apparent. The reason why people set up lurker accounts is that they don't want to be seen to be following another individual. So they set up this ghost account who follows the individual and they log in as the ghost account. So it's a way of watching something that's happening without revealing or showing your hand. Okay. But the contributor part is a different. You cross the threshold there and you start to become active.
And that person starts to try, in many instances, to influence opinion.
Yes, indeed. And setting up the account, you know, there's always the email address and the phone number or even the location settings of the phone, if you use a phone to access it, or even the IP address. And the safest way to set up a fake Twitter account is to use somebody else's email address and somebody else's phone number, ideally somebody that you've no connection with at all. So the ideal thing to do would be to walk down Grafton Street, stop two total strangers and say, can I borrow your email address for a minute just to get a verification code? And then for another person, can I borrow your phone just to get a verification code? And then you're completely anonymous. But that doesn't happen. That's not going to happen.
When I said to you earlier, it's hard to find out who's behind these accounts, what I really meant is for members of the public to find out who's behind these accounts. But of course, for the social media companies, they have more information, more power and more information on who these people might be.
Yes, they have a much broader perspective for every account. They know what that account has liked or retweeted or tweeted. They know when, they know where, they know the patterns. And what what social media accounts can do is that they can, companies can do is that they can look at the broader behavior of an individual account. And it's always the behavior that reveals ultimately what a fake, whether a Twitter account or any social media account is fake or is genuine. It's the behavior that trips you up.
Alan, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the program. Alan Smeaton there from Data Analytics at DCU. Just see a tweet here from Lucinda Creighton, another former Fine Gael TD in Dublin Bay South, regarding Kate O'Connell's claim earlier of a lack of leadership support in the party. Lucinda Creighton says, sounds far more like a lack of grassroots support, i.e. apparent inability to win support from party members of decades standing in Dublin Bay South. We're going to be talking about swearing next with Ard O'Hanlon.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.